The sun had barely risen over one of London's most exclusive streets when investigator Alexei Mastros takes his position, 20 meters away from a mansion worth tens of millions of pounds. He's hunting for a ghost, a man who controls one of the internet's most visited websites, but who has also managed to leave almost no trace of his existence online. While Mark Zuckerberg testifies before Congress and Elon Musk's every tweet makes headlines, the king of internet adult content has stayed completely invisible. If you googled his name, you'd find virtually nothing. As the first hints of daylight touch the mansion's windows, Alexei notices movements inside. After months of searching, he's about to come face to face with one of the internet's most powerful and secretive figures, the king of adult content. But just finding him is one part of this twisted story. The real questions are, why has this man gone to such extraordinary lengths to keep his identity hidden? What unethical, if not evil, activities had afforded him such a luxurious lifestyle while staying under the radar? Well, the answer to all of these questions would reveal a tale of exploitation, corporate intrigue, and a reckoning that would eventually bring down an empire, starting with this moment on a quiet London street. You see, the hunt for this man began in December 2020, when something unprecedented happened in the murky world of online adult content. Visa and MasterCard, two of the world's largest payment processors, suddenly cut ties with one of the internet's most visited websites, Pihub. Behind this dramatic move lay a New York Times investigation by Nicholas Kristof that revealed how this platform had become infested with videos of assault and abuse. Kristof's investigations into Pihub reported videos of unconscious women being assaulted, explicit acts filmed without consent, and content featuring blatantly underage victims. The article even alleged that men were seen touching girls' eyeballs to prove they were incapacitated. Later that same month, the Financial Times dropped a bombshell of its own. As its reporters dug deep into Pihub's elusive parent company MindGeek, they stumbled upon traces of an enigmatic figure lurking in the footnotes. This mysterious individual seemed to pull the strings from the shadows, and yet nobody knew who this person actually was. Who was the puppet master orchestrating MindGeek's vast adult content kingdom? Well, his name, as far as the Financial Times could determine, was Bernard Bergmeier. Beyond that, they found almost nothing. It was as if the person controlling one of the internet's most powerful companies had been deliberately erased. Back in 2020, searching for the adult content king's name on Google would have resulted in what's known as a Google whack, a rare early internet phenomenon where a search query returns only a single result. Now, for someone controlling one of the most powerful companies in online media, this level of invisibility was almost unheard of. You wouldn't believe the empire this guy had built without anyone ever knowing his name. You see, Pihub wasn't just another website. We're talking about 3.5 billion views a month, more popular than Amazon, more visited than even Netflix. And MindGeek, the company behind Pihub, wasn't running just one site. Pihub was the crown of a vast digital empire covering Yuppie, RedTube, Reality Kings, Brazzers. Every single adult content site was under its control. They were managing everything from Playboy's digital content to multiple P production studios. Together, MindGeek received 15 terabytes of video uploads every day. That's equivalent to half of Netflix's entire content library. As you might imagine, content moderation was woefully inadequate for a network of this scale. Until late 2020, uploading anything only required an email address. A small team of moderators were expected to review between 800 and 2,000 videos per session, clicking through to find illicit content and what some reports called playing Russian roulette with people's lives. When these scandals broke, MindGeek was forced to purge its platform, deleting 10 million videos and over 30 million images in what the Financial Times called probably the biggest takedown of content in internet history.
This is an organization that deals with legitimate porn, but that wasn't enough.
They knew they weren't verifying ID or age. This was a guessing game.
They put an intentional download button so that that child's trauma could then be immortalized. It was one thing when I was raped, but to have that filmed and then uploaded, monetized for profit and pleasure.
The company had been exposed, but somewhere in the background, the man who really controlled MindGeek was watching it all unfold. If you're hiding, having major newspapers call out your name is far from ideal, which is why the hunt for Bernard became a holy grail for journalists everywhere. And try to put yourself in his shoes for a minute. You're this mysterious guy and you're faced with a tough choice. Option 1, you're obsessed over every detail, always looking over your shoulder. Do I need an escape plan? Should I go to Belize? Is there a reporter at my door? What's gonna happen to my family and reputation if my cover breaks? Option 2, you bury bury your head in the sand and pretend none of this is happening. And I mean, what would you do in this situation? It's not like you can just snap your fingers and make all of this go away. The daily grind might help you keep sane, wake up, drink coffee, get the kids to school, hop on conference call routines, but now there's a crucial difference. You just can't resist looking over your shoulder at all times. But luckily for Bernard, things went quiet until February 2021, when the Canadian Parliament's Ethics Committee investigated continued allegations of child exploitation on P-Hub. They called on the company's chief executives to give evidence. Under intense questioning about the platform's practices, one of the executives finally cracked.
Just Pornhub.
Adult content was a huge issue.
Adult entertainment websites.
He confirmed the majority owners' existence and his name, Bernard Bugmer, known by his friends simply as Bent. As the plot surrounding MindGeek's shady ownership thickened, Canada's Globe and Mail newspaper began digging through corporate records, and they discovered that Bernard was born in Austria in 1968 near the city of Linz. More intriguingly, they found he attended the University of Chicago's business school, where a single photo of him appeared in a 2002 alumni publication. This photo eventually landed on the desk of investigators at Tortoise, a British news organization known for deep-dive investigations into hidden power. It was heavily pixelated, a crowd of faces where the more you zoomed in, blurrier it became. They thought he might be the guy in the blue top and glasses, or perhaps the one in the nice suit, but nothing was certain. By now, the pressure to identify this man was intensifying. Sources describe P-Hub as being saturated with abusive content, including videos of sexual assaults and underage victims. The details surrounding some of these cases were terrifying. One alleged victim, Serena Flates, was a straight-A student who had never kissed a boy. Forced into making a video, she had no idea this would end up on P-Hub with the title, 13-year-old brunette shows off for the camera. Before she even knew it existed, over 400,000 people had watched this, including her classmates. Desperate and scared, Serena posed as her mother to beg P-Hub to remove the video. But even as comments piled up identifying it as child abuse, the company let it remain online for weeks. Each time it was finally taken down, it would eventually reappear. One re-upload alone gathered 2.7 million views. And you see, MindGeek wasn't just hosting these videos, reports described how it was actively profiting from them, maximizing revenue by sharing them across its network of sites, with published annual revenue figures approaching $500 million a year. And then came the next breakthrough during a lavish party in the Hollywood Hills, filled with actors, celebrities, and the LA elite. Amidst the sea of designer outfits and perfect smiles, one man stood out, not because of his fame, but because of his familiar face. There he is, dressed in an elaborate costume, living it up with the elites without a care in the world. But little did the partygoer know that this single digital breadcrumb, captured by the actor Michael Tay, would be the key to unraveling his hidden identity. And the hunt for the adult content king had just taken a wild turn. Excitement grew when the investigators delved deeper into the photo's tags, uncovering a Facebook profile linked to the images. Surprisingly, it had just six friends, but those six friends led them to a woman named Priscilla, a Brazilian model who turned out to be Bergmer's wife. While her husband had mastered the art of digital invisibility, Priscilla maintained an active Instagram presence. Her account oozed luxury, with bespoke Chanel dresses and other designer clothing, massive diamonds and yacht trips through exotic locations. But it was one word in her Instagram bio that caught the investigators' attention: London. So corporate filings said Bergmer was living in China, which made zero sense. Why would the guy running a Canadian PR company be hanging out in a country that had absolutely nothing to do with his business? Well, the problem was that Priscilla's Instagram was frustratingly unhelpful. Those glossy photos were practically meaningless because Instagram wipes out all the location data, leaving investigators with nothing but a bunch of luxury snapshots. But luckily, persistence paid off for them, as the investigators found Priscilla's personal blog with the exact same photos. And here's where things get interesting. Her blog hadn't scrubbed the EXIF metadata. One photo didn't just suggest the location, it gave the exact address in one of London's most exclusive neighborhoods. A development company had just finished refurbishing it, and photos of the property's interior matched those in Priscilla's blog. The hunt for the adult king first had a name, and now it had an address. But Bergmer wasn't always a ghost, though. Once, he was just a farmer's son from Ansfelden, a postcard-perfect Austrian town. By his early 30s, he'd already carved out an unlikely path, from the family farm to the grand halls of the University of Chicago's business school. Evidently talented and smart, he spent a summer between the international bank Goldman Sachs and a prestigious consultancy, McKinsey. Quote, "No one else could have pulled it off," said one of his classmates, as they too were puzzled about how Bergmer had built his hidden empire. You see, unlike his colleagues, Bergmer wasn't interested in traditional finance. This was the early to mid 2000s, the internet was changing almost everything, and adult content was no exception. Back then, P sites were messy directories. Most content was still images, and low quality virus ridden downloads were rife. Then came YouTube. Suddenly, video hosting became so much easier, and the adult industry was about to change forever, triggering a new gold rush from which Bergman was to emerge a key player. However, he definitely wasn't the only big shot in this game, and to understand how he became so infamously powerful, we need to rewind a bit further to the start of the digital adult content revolution. But before we continue, let's just be real. Adult content addiction is destroying lives. It kills motivation, wrecks relationships, and keeps you from reaching your full potential. And the longer you wait, the harder it becomes to quit. But here's the good news, it's never too late to take control. You don't have to fall down the rabbit hole. And this is where Quitter comes in. With 250,000 plus users, this app is helping people quit adult content for good and become the best version of themselves. Because it's not just a blocker, it's a movement. As with Quitter, you don't have to do this all alone. Instead, you can join thousands of others pushing each other to stay strong, break free, and reclaim their lives. And whenever temptation does hit, you can just hit the panic button. With one tap and you're instantly pulled out of that moment of weakness. So if you're sick of feeling stuck, it's time to break the cycle. Download Quitter today and start taking back control, because every day you wait, quitting only gets harder. So download Quitter now and take control of your life. Just make sure to use the link in the description and pinned comment below to get started today. Enter Fabian Thalmann, a German programmer dubbed the Mark Zuckerberg of adult content. While most people were still figuring out how to upload a profile picture, Fabian was reimagining an entire industry. As a teenager in the late 90s, he developed software that could track users' behavior online, and the tech industry absolutely loved it. Using these profits, Fabian then began buying up adult content sites, and by 2010, his company named Manwin made its biggest move yet, acquiring the Montreal-based group that owned P-Hub for $140 million. The previous owners were out of their depth to say the least. Shady people from the old P industry had begun to tail them around in black SUVs, they had bodyguards patrolling their ward properties, and the government had seized $9 million from their bank account. The stress was killing them, and they needed to get out of the industry, which gave Fabian an opening to consolidate his growing monopoly. And once he acquired P-Hub, he soon implemented an aggressive expansion strategy, buying up all the smaller adult entertainment companies. Nothing was off limits, but unlike his predecessors, he wanted respect. He secured official content licenses to prevent himself getting the heat from the old traditional industry, which were obviously not pleased by the rise of free digital adult content. And he even began to make deals with politicians. But eventually, by doing this, he needed investment. And in 2011, he borrowed a massive $362 million from 125 private investors. Some were ex-bankers from companies like Goldman Sachs and JP Morgan. Some represented institutions like Cornell University, all lured by the promise of massive returns. And the monthly interest on this? A cool $60 million. Fabian said the rate was, quote, very, very steep, which if I tell you, you would fall over and think I'm crazy.
Financing package of about $362 million at a very, very steep cost, which if I would tell you, you would all fall over and think I'm crazy.
Around the same time, another outdoor content power player was emerging across the Atlantic, all the way in Austria. It was called RedTube, created in 2006 by students Stefan Jaeger and Michael Polacek, and soon the site had become an overnight sensation, with its revenues doubling every 3 years. It turned over $229,000 in profit in just 1 month, and yet the company had only employed just 4 people at the time and spent nothing on advertising. After the money started coming in, Stefan Jaeger decided to leave, after his new religious girlfriend pushed for the exit, and so a smart new Austrian investor stepped into the room, and that man was Bergmeier. And this is where things get really interesting. You see, RedTube was sold to Fabian's Manwin, which had become the undisputed titan of online adult content, and the empire seemed unstoppable, until 2012, when German prosecutors charged Fabian with tax evasion. He was then compelled to sell to 2 senior executives, the very same executives of P-Hub that we mentioned earlier, who then renamed the entire company to MindGeek. Under these executives, MindGeek grew far stronger, adopting big data to understand its audience and offer more compelling content. A 2019 article in the New York University Law Review suggested that the company's data-driven content strategy was far more advanced than Netflix's, using viewer behavior to influence what type of content they produced. And this was where Bergmeier's hand was finally revealed. Through a complex series of financial deals following RedTube's sale, he secured a majority stake in MindGeek while staying under the radar. Exactly how remains a bit of a mystery, but Canada's Globe and Mail claims that Bergmeier was a majority owner in several of MindGeek's 48 subsidiaries, with a 59% stake in one called RT Holding, which owned RedTube, one of the most valuable companies in the network. Because MindGeek wasn't just focused on growing their business internationally, they were also hardcore about dodging taxes. Each of these locations had financial rules that made it easier for MindGeek to keep more of the profits. A convenient, perhaps even deliberate side effect of the chaos surrounding MindGeek was that tracing the money had become nearly impossible. It was the perfect industry for people to stay concealed from the public while profiting immensely in the background. As we know now, MindGeek's two main owners were still just the tip of a huge giant iceberg. They represented their faceless ultra-rich owners, people who they later admitted didn't even know themselves, as they refused to be publicly associated with the industry. So at last, the hunt had reached its climax. As dawn broke out in that London street, Alexei Mastros wasn't just waiting to confront a reclusive billionaire. He was hoping to bring accountability to an industry that had operated in the shadows for way too long. And let's just reflect on the irony of this for a minute. A man who reporters claimed had made his fortune by exposing the most intimate moments of millions of people online, many according to sources without their consent, had gone to extraordinary lengths to keep his own life private. Behind these mansion walls lived a man whose company had reported revenues of $460 million in 2018. Money made, victims alleged, all by turning a blind eye to their trauma. And at 8:30 a.m., there was a movement behind the mansion's curtains. Bergmeier eventually emerged, wearing dad jeans. Hardly the Hugh Hefner-esque attire one might expect from an adult content media mogul. For a man who'd managed to stay invisible for so long, this very moment would strip away years of carefully constructed anonymity in seconds. Mr. Bergmeier, Mastros called out, but the billionaire froze. And in that moment, the shock on his face told its own story. The realization that his privacy had finally been breached. Quote, "I'm very sorry to disturb you at your house," Mastro continued. "I just wondered if I could ask you a few questions about MindGeek. The journalist wants to know about the allegations against the company. Did he have anything to say about the alleged lives destroyed by videos on the platform?" But the answer was no. Bergmeier, true to his reputation for secrecy, didn't say a single word. Instead, his face would twist with anger. Not at the questions themselves, but at the prospect of being found. Without responding, he quickly turned away and left into the shadows, leaving the questions hanging in the morning air. And that was pretty much the first and last time he was ever revealed to the public. And we can only imagine how he felt as he closed the door and locked it behind him. That was supposed to be just another quiet morning. A deep breath, maybe a long sigh, as now he'd have to compute what happened inside his head to his wife and kids. As people who knew him recalled, that he'd be the last person to have anything to do with the industry. He apparently returned each year to help with the wheat harvest in Austria, just as he had in his youth, always in his trademark white shirt and jeans. He owned at least 103 hectares of land, mostly farmland but also forests, several houses, and a magnificent farmhouse. And the journalist would recall his feeling of deflation at Bergmeier's lack of interaction. But while the infamous confrontation lasted mere seconds, its impact would send shockwaves throughout the industry. Within months, the walls started to close in on MindGeek. Lawsuits could finally name Bergmeier as a defendant, and his Brazilian wife Priscilla told the Sunday Times that she wanted him to cut ties with the company. Quote, "To be honest, I never knew of this," she told the press when asked about the allegations of abuse and exploitation. "I was totally out of this. The only thing he told me is that he wishes he was not in this. I have children now. None of us want that. We all want things to be right." Had even Bergmeier's own wife been in the dark about the true nature of his business? If so, it only reinforced his skill in separating business from his personal life. Either way, whatever distance he had once maintained had completely vanished. At the same time, public pressure was now mounting after the magazine The New Yorker published yet another brutal expose of alleged exploitation and abuse on PHUB, which eventually triggered the executives to resign from MindGeek in 2023. And not long after that, the company was sold off. MindGeek was then renamed to Arlo and offloaded to a newly formed entity with a name as ironic as it was hollow: Ethical Capital Partners. And so today, high up in Montreal's Aquamarine Tower, where MindGeek is based right now, the machinery behind the site was on. The defenders of it still claim it offers freedom to consenting adult performers, but the accounts of others tell a different story. For people like Serena, no rebrand can erase the devastation. According to sources, she has struggled with her mental health, faced homelessness, dropped out of school, and battled addiction. And she was just one of thousands. Today, nearly 300 victims have joined forces across 25 lawsuits against MindGeek, with some really horrifying allegations. One particularly awful federal class action lawsuit filed in Alabama revealed two alleged victims, aged 14 and 16. Whose abuse videos were hosted and monetized on the platform. And their stories become all too familiar. But the scandal wasn't stopping at MindGeek, it was spreading. Lawsuits now targeted Visa, hedge funds like Redwood Capital Management and Colbert Capital, alleging they knowingly funded and profited from child exploitation by investing and processing payments for the site. Mike Bo, who spent decades defending Wall Street giants, is now leading one of the largest cases against the MindGeek empire. His team represents over 30 women, and they're deploying an unusual legal strategy, using anti-racketeering laws originally designed to take down the mafia. What interests Bo isn't just MindGeek's corporate structure and the victims caught up inside of it, it's the dirty financing behind it. As you can probably imagine, the numbers just don't quite add up, and with some of the very biggest institutions pushing their cash into online adult content, there is probably another layer to this dark scheme. Meanwhile, MindGeek is trying to reinvent itself. The company's new owners, Ethical Capital Partners, put forward Solomon Friedman, a criminal defense attorney, as the new face of the company. And now Bergmaier is facing personal lawsuits, and his wife is publicly calling for him to cut ties with the company. Which is why the hunt for this man revealed just one face behind the fortune. But somewhere in the gloom of this global business conglomerate, countless others have profited from the exploitation, most of which will never be named or even known. The story of this guy might just be the beginning of a much larger reckoning, one that may extend to the highest circles of power.